Have you ever looked in the mirror and felt like you're staring at someone you don't quite recognize? Not physically, but something deeper, more unsettling. There's a peculiar epidemic sweeping through modern life, one that causes little visible disruption yet devastates us from within, self-loss. It's that gnawing feeling of being disconnected from who you truly are, of living a life that feels more like a performance than an authentic existence. Sarah Kaburek experienced this firsthand at 24 when a friend's simple question, "Are you happy?" shattered her carefully maintained facade. Despite surviving war and having outward success, she found herself trapped in a loveless marriage, exhausting herself with pretense, drowning in inauthenticity. Her journey from that breaking point to becoming an existential psychotherapist reveals something crucial. In a world obsessed with productivity, achievement, and curated online personas, we've forgotten how to simply be ourselves. This isn't about self-improvement or optimization. It's about reclaiming the most fundamental relationship you'll ever have. Self-loss manifests like sitting calmly in a room engulfed in flames, continuing mundane activities while danger surrounds you. Consider someone we'll call Alex. She starts each day scrolling through social media, comparing herself to strangers, rushing to prepare herself for others' judgments while ignoring her own needs. She forces smiles at work, barely tastes her food, exercises from self-hatred rather than self-care, and collapses into bed staring at screens until exhausting claims her. Alex has become comfortable in her burning room, sinking deeper into disconnection with each passing day. What makes self-loss particularly insidious is that nobody chooses it intentionally, yet intention becomes irrelevant in the face of consequences. Like a house fire, it doesn't matter whether it started accidentally or deliberately, it still needs extinguishing. Self-loss manifests in 5 ways: emotional dysregulation, suppressing or drowning in feelings, body disconnection, treating ourselves as tools, relationship dysfunction, entering dynamics misaligned with our needs, loss of inner consent, inability to honor authentic thoughts and values, and disconnection from meaning, functioning without truly living. The origin of your self-loss matters less than what you do now. Pain signals something isn't right and motivates change. The healing journey often worsens before improving, but self-loss can become reorientation, a transformative space for creating wholeness. When disconnected, we typically explore, "Who am I?" only when challenges force inquiry. A fundamental question emerges: are we discovering a predetermined self or actively creating ourselves through choices? An existential framework suggests we first exist, then determine who we are. The self isn't static, but dynamic. It manifests through expression. Your understanding of who you are informs your actions, and your actions shape your self-perception. Think of Julia Roberts' character in Runaway Bride, who always adopted her partner's egg preferences. She had to cook eggs every possible way to discover her own taste. This illustrates how we must exercise our freedom to determine who we truly are. Freedom comes with an inherent burden, responsibility. We are, as Sartre put it, condemned to be free. There's no escape from making choices that define us. This constant decision-making exhausts us, which explains why we often surrender our freedom to institutions, families, or cultural expectations, using past traumas to justify harmful behaviors. While we can't change certain givens, our height, past experiences, ethnicity, we retain what Viktor Frankl called the last of human freedoms, choosing our attitude toward our circumstances. The self consists of 3 essential elements: freedom, choice, and responsibility. Authenticity means finding peace within yourself, that deep, intuitive feeling of rightness in your being. As Nietzsche said, if you have your why for life, you can get by with almost any how. Determining why you want to live shapes how you live and who you are. Our awareness of limited time both threatens us and gives life meaning. When asked how they'd live with only 3 months remaining, most people describe a completely different existence, yet resist living that way now, falsely believing they have endless time. Frankl suggests meaning isn't found through grand existential questions, but created through how we live each moment. During graduate school, Kubrick encountered a shocking therapeutic approach, a therapist asking a suicidal client, "Okay then, why don't you kill yourself?" This profound question was really asking, "Do you have something to live for?" Existential angst isn't pathological. It's the tension that gives our existence shape. What we need isn't a tensionless state, but the striving and struggling for a worthwhile goal. Meaning emerges in perfect moments, stargazing in the desert, feeling simultaneously small yet important in the universe's tapestry. We create meaning through every choice we make, every relationship we nurture, every action we take with full awareness of our limited time.
There are two types of people, those who had a sense of self and lost it, and those who never experienced their true self. The discomfort feels identical. The path forward requires tracing the origin. When, how, and why did it happen? Three common causes emerge: life-altering events, modeled behavior and family rules, and self-betrayal. Certain events fundamentally change our relationship with ourselves. For Kubrick, war triggered her initial self-loss, while marrying prematurely deepened it. For others, it might be relocation, medical diagnosis, loss of a loved one, or having a child. Our understanding of self is shaped by childhood rules and modeled behaviors. When these clash with our authentic experience, we seek validation externally. Many unknowingly repeat behaviors modeled by parents who struggled with their own sense of self. Self-betrayal occurs when we deny parts of ourselves, our needs, thoughts, feelings, for external approval. It's shifting loyalty from ourselves outward, not merely compromising on trivial matters, but on who we fundamentally are. Consider Sam, who appeared to be an ideal therapy client, punctual, enthusiastic, articulate, yet beneath this perfect exterior, something felt performative. She would apologize for crying or swearing, worried about how she should behave. Sam was following a good girl script. Be attractive but innocent, sexy but not sexual, achieve greatly but never mention it, be confident but not threatening. Even in her 30s with three children, Sam still lived by these rules. There is no expiration date for conformity. To develop an authentic sense of self, we must find clear mirrors, people willing to reflect us accurately and give us permission to be ourselves.
Boundaries are guidelines that enhance understanding and safety in relationships, a way to care for ourselves through clear communication. They don't just protect us, they define us, creating a silhouette of our humanity that helps others see and understand us. Many struggle with boundaries because they don't truly know themselves. We can't outline something if we don't know where the edges are. To challenge the shoulds in your life, ask if expectations resonate with who you are, bring you closer to your desired future, and respect your needs. Mental decluttering means eliminating anything that no longer serves you. Thoughts, beliefs, roles, habits, fears, relationships, or possessions. You cannot ignore your body and still have a close relationship with yourself. When asked when they feel most like themselves, people overwhelmingly describe moments of embodiment: hiking, dancing, stretching, breathing, crying, sex. Our sense of personal agency and continuity is based on embodiment. Remove the body and you remove access to the self. The body is power. We're uncomfortable with emotions, equating emotional with unreasonable. Yet emotions connect directly to our values, what we deem worthy. Strong feelings mark what matters. To be yourself, you must feel. Rather than labeling emotions good or bad, see them as messengers. Feelings represent subjective reality, not facts. Feeling rejected doesn't mean someone is rejecting you. Emotions aren't the problem, how we respond can be. Being yourself means seizing fleeting moments with mindful openness. Approach life with curiosity rather than preconceptions. Everything becomes a gateway to understanding yourself. Recovering from self-loss feels like coming home, grounded in profound alignment. Remember Alex? Her days now overflow with intention, morning check-ins, bold dressing, purposeful work, addressing emotions immediately.
she pursues interests like reading and crochet, and when someone doesn't text, she calls instead of anxiously waiting. Ask daily, "What did I learn about myself today?" Imagine an ember landing on your rug. You immediately understand that unless you act, everything is endangered. You extinguish it. The next day, a faint mark remains, reminding you of that time you almost lost everything, but didn't, because you were aware and deliberate. In a world demanding you be someone else, choosing yourself is the most radical act. It's not a destination, but daily practice, a continuous conversation between who you are and who you're becoming. The flames are real. The danger is real, but so is your power to act. Allow yourself to exist now. Become. Be. Remember, it's on you, and that's exactly where your freedom begins.